Happy New Year, everyone. This is the 26th day of the year of 2021, and hopefully your New Year's is going a whole lot better than a lot of other people's. It has been a blast so far. Thank you for tuning in to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims, live here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can also download an app. The name of the app is called TuneIn. Once you download it, please search WWGH. You can also call in during the time we are live on the air from now until the top of the hour at 12 noon. You can call 740-383-9944 for any questions or if you would like to make any comments. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio, 740-382-8552. We have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson. She was my guest as of yesterday, and we really enjoyed our time together, and she was also sharing a lot about the loss of her mother to COVID in October of 2020. Logos Christian Ministries is located at 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. 740-223-1515 is their number, or www.logoschristianministries.com. Their free produce will open again in the month of April through December 2021. We have Inspect Ohio LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 25 years of experience. 28 years of experience working for you. They are located in LaRue, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-262-0939. And I'd like to open up the show with a thought for today, and that thought is titled, Fragrant Heart. The heart is like a flower. Unless it is open, it cannot release its fragrance into the world. Let us remember that and open up our hearts. Not all the way, but somewhat, okay? Be careful out there. Now, let me introduce to you my guest today, Tim Combs, one of my favorite. He is our political analyst and historian, okay? Former history teacher of the Marion City Schools. Tim, how you doing today?
Great. How you doing?
All right. Happy New Year
Happy
to
New
you.
Happy New Year.
It's been wild, hasn't it?
It's been wild, all right.
Oh, we're doing a year in review, also up to date. So however you want to go about it, you want to hit now or...
Okay. Well, I almost don't know where to begin. There has been... The last time I was here short before the November election.
Right, right.
So let me just kind of maybe start at the local level, then we'll head on up the ladder, if you will.
Okay, great.
Marion County did get a new sheriff on January 4th, Matt Bales. First Republican in 56 years to win the sheriff's office. For 52 years, there had been... four Democratic sheriffs in that time, Max okay. Ross, Ron Scheider, John Butterworth, and Tim Bailey. And so he's the new sheriff. It was a very highlighted contest, and there were some other ones, but he was the one that was able to upend an incumbent. What we have now, and this is happening throughout the country, we're almost seeing an urban-rural divide, more urban-suburban areas, maybe heavily Democratic. Rural areas, but we have a Republican. Republicans now have 9 of the 11 non-judicial offices in Marion County. We still have a Democrat County Treasurer, Jan Draper, who got reelected unopposed, and County Auditor, Joanne Kasotis. And then the judges have all been Republican, although, of course, Judge Warner is on leave of absence or whatever because of his indictment for the auto accident here last June. And Judge William Finnegan, who is a former judge, was named by the Supreme Court to be the visiting judge.
Okay.
Handle his docket until whenever. So, and then of course, city government is dominated by Democrats, and we are having city elections this year for council, president, and city treasurer. And we'll talk more about that at a later time.
Okay.
As I said, we're seeing more and more rural areas moving to Republican, urban areas heavily Democratic, and I just always follow what's happening in. Down in Columbus area, Franklin County, which was a one-time Republican county, has become very Democratic. And in fact, Gary Tyak was elected their prosecuting attorney, was one of the last Republican strongholds in Franklin County government fell. And so there the Democrats have 10 of the 11 non-judicial offices, plus they won all the judgeships down there. So, again, we're seeing this divide. Also, of course, Ohio for the first time in 60 years did not go for the winning presidential candidate.
Hmm.
The last time that happened was in 1960 when Ohio went for Richard Nixon for president. And, of course, John F. Kennedy was elected. That's and the nice. Irony, and a little story about that, 1960 was our first presidential election, was all 50 states were voting.
Mm-hmm.
And when Richard Nixon accepted the Republican nomination that year, he pledged to go to all 50 states. Well, some of us invited him, well, I'm not sure that's a good idea, because, of course, as we well know, the electoral vote is the one that determines who actually is the president.
Right.
Well, I think it was in early September of that year, Nixon was in, I believe it was North Carolina, and he was getting out of a car someplace, and he bumped his knee rather severely, became infected. He was off the campaign trail for several days.
Whoa.
And so I thought, well, good, this would be a good way to get out of that 50-state pledge, because now we're going to have to reduce the time and so
right,
on and so
right.
forth. Not Richard Nixon. Oh, no, we made that commitment, we're going to do it. Da, 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 da. Mm-hmm. And so, famously, that first debate that happened, those were the years we had the four debates between John F. Kennedy and Richard Nixon.
Okay.
And Nixon decided to go into overdrive to try to keep this 50-state commitment. And he was losing weight, was drinking chocolate milkshakes to try to gain weight, whatever. Mm-hmm. But that first debate, famously, I forget where it was being held, but John F. Kennedy came off the campaign trail for a couple of days because he had a little bit more relaxed schedule.
Right.
Got relaxed, prepped up, and so forth. Richard Nixon was right to the end, and Nixon didn't get to the city wherever they were in the debate, like I think that day. Well, of course, by this time, by 1960, he had television. Well, most could have had TV.
Right.
Most people watched the debate on television. And they, first of all, the camera panned to Senator Kennedy, and okay, whatever. Then they panned to then Vice President Richard Nixon.
Wow.
Well, frankly, Nixon looked like something the cat had drug in. He was kind of sweating. His collar was kind of loose around him and so forth.
Wow.
Mayor Richard J. Daley of the Chicago at the time became known as Boss Daley. He and some of his friends were at Chicago City Hall listening to that first debate, and they saw his television. Daley reportedly said to friends, he said, "My God, they've been bombed. The guy, he's not even dead yet."
Oh, my God.
Because that's, he just looked bad.
Right.
And the result was the people who watched the debate, which is most people, gave the win to Kennedy. Those listening to the radio gave the win to Nixon, but that was the minority people.
Right.
From that point forward, they just became very close. Kennedy ended up winning the election narrowly.
Mm.
But that weekend before the election, Kennedy was in some of the major states, Ohio and Illinois and so forth, campaigning. He had a big rally in Columbus, in fact, the weekend before the election. Richard Nixon, that weekend before the election, was in Alaska. That was the last state to get to the 50 states.
Right.
Of course, Alaska has all three electoral votes. And anyhow, Kennedy wins the election narrowly. And a few months later, I don't know, he was at some political event of some sort. And I think some political figures were there. And he joked, he says, "I've never been in a city where I had a bigger crowds and more enthusiasm and fewer votes than Columbus, Ohio." And but Columbus has changed from those days. And,
right.
So on. But so for the first time in 60 years, Ohio did not go for winning candidate. In fact, Joe Biden became the first Democrat since Kennedy to win the presidency without carrying either Ohio or Florida or both.
Mm.
I mean, Barack Obama, for instance, carried both states
right. Both
times. Bill Clinton carried Ohio both times and Florida one time. Jimmy Carter carried Ohio and Florida both
right. In
those elections. And so, so that was interesting.
So I guess it's not always true. As Ohio goes, so goes the
nation.
Well,
I gotta say. Well, actually, Dale Butlin, who was a Democratic political strategist, was on a Columbus program called Week in Review here a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a former aide to Senator John Glenn, of course, was a Democratic senator from Ohio. And he said the reason Ohio basically probably did not go with the winning candidate were three factors. He says Ohio is older,
mm-hmm.
wider, and has fewer college graduates than normal other states of this size.
Really?
And the result is that fed right into the Trump base, and so that's likely the reason why Ohio did not go for Joe Biden. As we said, of course, Joe Biden was elected president.
Yes,
the electoral vote was 306 to 232. And, of course, Kamala Harris becomes the first woman vice president in
yes.
U.S. history, made history. But, of course, as they say, that was not the end of the story.
Of course not.
Donald Trump was a man who his father had, I read it as his niece who wrote this book about him, said that Trump could never accept ever losing. And so the result was, and even before the election, he had said that if he didn't win, it was because of fraud or whatever.
Right, right. He built and everybody up for that, yeah.
It was actually 4 days after the election on Saturday, November 7th, when finally they put Pennsylvania into, that Joe Biden carried it and won the presidency. He began saying it was fraud, it was all right. that sort of stuff. 60 different lawsuits that the Trump campaign filed in about a half dozen states, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Nevada, Arizona, the federal and state courts, a couple of them actually got to the Supreme Court. They were all dismissed. One federal judge in Pennsylvania, who was a Trump appointee, I mean, these judges were Republicans, Democrats, liberals, or whatever. But they have to go with what the evidence is, or lack thereof.
Right.
And one of the judges in Pennsylvania, who was a Republican-appointed judge by Trump, simply said, and I'm going to have to paraphrase here, this was a Frankenstein mishmash of whatever. Nothing there.
Right.
There was no evidence.
Right.
All this thing about fraud, there was no fraud. Nothing, anything like what he was saying.
Right.
Now, in every election, is there some little issue here or there? There may well be, but nothing like what he was saying. And in fact, they were thrown out, dismissed, whatever. And now the Dominion Voting Company, who was one of these companies that they were charged, that he, Julie Giuliani, and some of the other lawyers were charging with fraudulent activity, they are now suing this Sidney Powell, who was one of the attorneys, who was a conspiracy theory attorney, and Giuliani, $1.3 billion lawsuit. Mm. And I just listed this morning that apparently more defendants are going to be added to that case. I would not be surprised that eventually Donald Trump will be one of their defendants they will name as a defendant in their action, along with some other individuals and so forth.
Right.
Hmm. So, yes, they lost all this litigation and so forth. They've been trying to overturn the election. But particularly, it was in the state of Georgia. And things that we now only know or find out now, weeks later. But, of course, early January, his infamous call to the Secretary of State of Georgia, one Brad Raffensperger, who was a Republican, who was a Trump voter. But they had done all the votes, they had the count, recount, whatever. There was no fraud, whatever.
No fraud.
And the litigation was dismissed, and Trump called him to try to get him to create 11,000 some odd additional votes that didn't exist. It is my understanding now, city of Atlanta, of course, is the largest city in Atlanta and the state capital of Atlanta, and in Fulton County, which is the county that Atlanta is located in.
Right.
Their district attorney is now looking into this whole thing, and their county grand jury. I would not be at all surprised, now that Mr. Trump is no longer president, that within the next few weeks or a couple months, it would not surprise me if he is indicted by the Fulton County, Georgia grand jury for attempted election tampering or whatever. That would not surprise me at all. And these are state charges, not federal.
Right.
These are state charges. And then, of course, he's being looked at also by the state of New York for some financial manipulations involving his businesses in New York State. Of course, he moved to Florida here within the last year or so. So they're actually Florida residents now. All this background here and everything. And then, of course, the Electoral College met on December 14th. The electors met in the 50 states and District of Columbia. And the Biden-Harris ticket ended up with 306 electoral votes. They carried 25 states, District of Columbia, and one congressional district in Nebraska. And again, I should point out, Nebraska and Maine are the two states that the candidate who wins the most votes statewide get what they call the two at-large electoral votes. Then they go to each of the congressional districts. Nebraska has three districts, Maine has two.
Okay.
And depending on how those congressional districts go, county can get electoral vote. Well, Joe Biden did the same thing that Barack Obama did in 08. He carried the district around the Omaha area.
Right.
The electoral vote. Trump, 4 years ago, carried the northern Maine district, did that again this time, so he got one electoral vote out of Maine. And so he carried 25 states and one district. Joe Biden carried the 25 states, D.C., plus the one congressional district.
Okay.
And that was 306 to 232, Electoral College, 270 required for election. Hmm. That leads us to Wednesday, January 6th, 2021. As Frank Roosevelt famously would say about December 7th, 41, a date which will live in infamy, January 6th, 2021, will date which will live in political infamy.
Jesus.
That is the day that the Congress held in a joint session to officially count the electoral votes. So this is a formality. Usually the thing lasts maybe 45 minutes.
Right.
Now, members of Congress can object to a state's electoral votes if they feel there's some reason, whatever. But you have to have a senator and a House member do it jointly. The electoral vote, the session had just started, about maybe, I think they were into Arizona or whatever at that point, when this rally that was being held down in front of the White House, Mr. Trump had talked to him and so on and so forth, said, we're going to march down to the Capitol. Well, the actual march itself was, they had a permit for a peaceful march. That's not the problem. The problem was when they got to the Capitol, a thousand or so, a couple thousand, charged into the Capitol, breached the Capitol of the United States. I mean, that one clown that was walking around with the Confederate flag in the Capitol.
Gosh.
During the entire U.S. Civil War of 1861, 1865, the Confederate flag never made it into Washington, D.C. It certainly got into the Capitol.
Oh, my.
Famously, it was said that Lincoln could look out the second floor of the White House over across Potomac over to Northern Virginia and see the Confederate, the fire camps of the Confederate soldiers in Northern Virginia in the spring of 1861. But no Confederate flag until January 6th of 2021, before a Confederate flag was in the U.S. Capitol.
So they had permit for a peaceful...
Up to that point, were there, but then those that went in and breached the Capitol, and of course did destruction, so forth.
Well, he told them to go and fight like hell.
And the result was, well, we know, but everybody who saw that, it was just shocking.
It was devastating.
I'll tell you what I could... You know, there's nothing to compare in U.S. history.
Right.
The only thing that comes, in my view, close to... trying to look at it in terms of history, was what was called the Beer Hall Putsch in Munich, Germany in 1921, when Nazis, in an attempt to try to overthrow the Bavarian state government, tried to, that's when Hitler was getting his start, tried to overthrow the government. Well, the government, the Bavarian state government was stronger and put the revolt down, and that's when Hitler ended up going to jail for about 9 months, and where he would write his book, Mein Kampf, literally meaning my struggle. In which he literally, it was the most unread book at the time.
Right.
But by the 30s, when he came to power, if someone started reading it, literally he laid out his whole program he was going to carry out, which he would carry out in the 30s and into the 40s in Nazi Germany. And but that's about the closest I can go in terms of a general comparison.
Yeah.
Something you would never expect to see in the United States
of America.
This is
about, what, 40,000 people out there?
Well,
there
was that number, now, the actual number that was actually in the...
In the Capitol building.
Might have been 1,000 or so.
Oof.
It's interesting. And by the way, many of those people have now, not many of them, but a number of them have been arrested.
Yes.
Like the guy that carried the flag, the guy who had the horn hat on in the Senate, he's been arrested.
Whoa.
The guy that was in Nancy Pelosi's office, he's been arrested.
Yeah.
The one gentleman that I think was in the tie, I think, apparently they wanted to try to kidnap members of Congress, whatever.
Oh, God.
And fortunately... And the Senate was in the process. They had there had been objection to the Arizona electoral votes. So the Congress had separated to debate the issue. And those electoral votes were in the Senate chamber. When they got into the Capitol, fortunately, as they were evacuating the Senate chamber, one of the aides or pages, whatever, fortunately took the electoral votes with them. Who knows what could have happened if they'd gotten those and burned them or whatever.
I know.
Because it was a ransacking of offices. There was some graffiti, although that was not as much. And, of course, there was some broken windows. Five people, of course, died, including the one Capitol Police officer. The one officer, this is Eugene Goodman, the one who led the group away from the Senate, because then Vice President Pence was in the office. Basically, the Secret Service had him into another office. But they were just, I don't know how many feet away from where he was at.
Wow.
And it was just incredible.
Yes, it was.
And the more that comes out on this, we're going to hear more about what happened. And
it desecrated the Capitol building.
It was what, I'll use a French term here, it was an attempted coup d'etat. That's a French term that literally means a strike against the state.
Right.
In effect, a strike against democracy. When Joe Biden last Weekend of the Inaugural Address said that democracy has prevailed. There was no widespread fraud. There was no fraud. It was the whole thing was ridiculous. No. And now the Dominion voting system, who feels the reputation, has been harmed by these accusations. They're in the process of bringing legal action against these individuals and suing them. And as I say, likely some other individuals are going to be named as defendants as they go down these next days and weeks ahead.
Right, right.
And as I said, I think something like 200 people have now been arrested because they had all this tape of them on with their faces.
Even their family members are turning
in. They had like something like 140,000 tips. That they're going through. Plus, some of them had flown into either Dulles or Reagan Airport. Mm-hmm. So you have the TSA, the Transportation Security Administration tapes. They can add those together. And then somebody said that some website put together by, they identified him as a college student in the D.C. area, mm-hmm. put together a website with something like 700 or 800 pictures of different individuals. And last several weeks, watching different programs, different former FBI agents have said, these people would be well advised to surrender themselves because that next knock at the door might be the FBI coming to arrest them or local police.
Right, somebody.
A federal warrant to arrest these people.
So we're coming to get you, right?
Question is, were there any people from Marion? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know whether anybody was there.
I heard there was a few people there from Marion there. There might have been a
group. Hopefully they were not one of those that
was
inside.
Breach, huh?
Because if not, they ought to be watching over their shoulder pretty much because... now, there's some people from Columbus who've been arrested. There's some from Urbana or the Champaign kind of been arrested. And I'm sure there's going to be some other ones that are going to face arrest as time goes on.
Wow.
And then, of course, as a result of this and what some felt was Trump's agitation in this whole thing led to his being for the second time impeached by the House of Representatives for, in the article, one article is incitement to insurrection. Mm-hmm. That's really what you had here was an insurrection.
Right.
And it took about 5 hours for them to get the Capitol back under control. And, of course, what they did was they temporarily delayed the counting of the electoral votes.
Right.
But then they resumed by about 8 o'clock that night, 9 o'clock that night. And by 4 a.m. the following Thursday, they had completed the process. And, of course,
certified
declared
Biden the president.
Ticket. And, of course, the effort by the Trump was that Vice President, then Vice President Pence, could somehow intercede and said, no, strictly that is not possible. And that was just plain ludicrous. But this is what happens when you have an individual who's in power, who doesn't know the process, doesn't know what to do. And, I mean, it was really almost a rapid authoritarian type of control. I mean, this is why maybe he got along with people like Putin and the guy from Turkey and some of the other authoritarian leaders.
Yeah. He was intrigued by them and the power they had.
In fact, actually, apparently during this whole happening, Trump was actually almost excited about what was going on. And we now know that he apparently tried to use the Justice Department to try to overturn the results in Georgia. Mm-hmm. There was some attorney who's no longer in the Justice Department, Jeffrey Clark, tried to maybe get rid of the acting attorney general. I mean, as I say, as time goes on, we're going to be hearing more and more. Find out what was.
But Tim, when they did the impeachment the first time, mm-hmm. why did they allow him to stay in office?
Because he was acquitted by the Senate. It takes a 2/3 vote of the Senate to convict. So he was acquitted. Now, the second impeachment, and of course, this was the most widespread because he only had 10 Republicans, including one congressman from Ohio, mm-hmm. who voted to impeach him. And Liz Cheney, who was the number 3 Republican in the House Republican Conference, voted for impeachment. She said he lit the and there is some speculation that maybe Mitch McConnell, the now Senate Minority Leader, may very well be looking at maybe voting for conviction. Because if they get a conviction, mm-hmm. and I say that's an if, then the Senate could turn around and by a majority vote simply declare him unable to run for federal office again. Now, if they don't get a conviction, they can then introduce what is called a joint resolution mm-hmm. under the 14th Amendment, Section 2 of the 14th Amendment, that's the section, I believe, I haven't looked at it recently, that prohibits anybody from holding a federal office who's been involved in an insurrection against the federal government. That's really what you had here, was an insurrection against the federal government. I mean, this is what, you know, essentially what you had from 1861 to 1865 was 11 southern states involved in a legal insurrection against the federal government.
Right.
And of course, it was ended up put down, but that was what it was. You know, for instance, Jefferson Davis, who was a Confederate president, went to his grave never thinking he actually had done anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it was years later, actually late 70s, that Congress posthumously granted him a pardon or whatever.
Okay.
But it's interesting. And of course, the other thing that's happening is now, in effect, there's almost a civil war within the Republican Party. There's been talk that Trump will start a third party, a Patriot Party. Supposedly, a group has now filed with the Federal Election Commission to have a Patriot Party. Now, supposedly, Trump people are saying, well, we don't have anything to do with it. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just have to wait and see how this all works out. And then, of course, what's happened is, as I say, you, within the Republican Party, you're having those who are very much Trump-oriented and those who are not.
Right.
And, of course, what's happening is, just yesterday, Senator Rob Portman of Ohio, Republican from Ohio, announced he was not going to run for a re-election next year as senator. He was a possibility of maybe facing a primary challenge. And now this frees him. If he decides to vote for conviction on Mr. Trump, he doesn't have to worry about a primary challenge. He's not running for re-election.
Mm.
And there are two other Republican senators, Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania,
mm-hmm.
Richard Burr of North Carolina, who also are not running for re-election. They don't have to worry about, if they decide to vote for conviction,
right,
having to face a primary challenge. So we'll see. You know, there's a whole bunch of things out there. And then, frankly, there are some Republican House members who may face some issues because they spoke at that rally beforehand, and where they, and then supposedly the day before the January 6th breaching,
right,
had led some groups around the Capitol in kind of like, well, some are almost like a reconnaissance mission to see where the opposite was, because like Jim Clyburn, the congressman from South Carolina, who's majority whip, a lot of these members of the leadership have what they call kind of hideaway offices,
okay,
in the Capitol. I mean, these are not things you can easily find. Yet,
right,
his office was ransacked. And unless somebody...
They seem to know where they were.
Where they... I mean, that's just not an office you would... Because many times they're not even marked.
Right.
So there's some members of Congress that may be facing some issues, particularly Senators Cruz and Hawley from Texas, Missouri, may well face... To expel a member of Congress, a Senate member or a House member, it takes that body to, a two-thirds vote of that body to expel a member. But if they don't give expulsion by a majority vote, they can, for instance, what happened to Joseph McCarthy in the 50s was a censure for his conduct as a member of the Senate or the House. And there's a congressman from Georgia, there's one from Colorado, where new ones in, and they may face and again, they may face more than just censure from the Congress. They may face, depending on what happened, could face possibly criminal action against them.
Wow.
So, as I say, the investigation continues. The FBI, of course, has all this information. They're still processing.
I don't know why Ted Cruz wasn't dismantled a long time ago.
Well, he actually, of course, just barely got reelected to the Senate back in 2018, he came close to getting defeated. So, just incredible, and something that you never would have thought you ever seen in the United States.
Now, what happened to Rudy Giuliani? What happened to him?
In fact, today, his name is being added to the lawsuit by Dominion. Yeah, they're adding his name to the lawsuit. And
he was our hero of 9-1-1.
Well, yeah,
right?
But that long was gone.
He's so, out there, boy. Yeah. He went to lunch, I think. Something happened. Yeah. I'm like...
Congressman Jim Jordan, I mean, our own congressman. He is one that was... I don't know whether or not he spoke at that rally beforehand or whatever, but now there's members... He might run for the Senate now that Senator Portman's not running again. You know, if you could obviously have to give up his House seat, but
right,
if you were to do that. Mm. So we'll see what happens. And it's... it was just incredible what has happened these last few months.
Yes, it has been.
Have a new era. Noon last Wednesday, Joe Biden became president, the 46th president, and Kamala Harris, the 49th vice president.
Yeah.
And he is in the process, but President Biden has already issued about 30-year executive orders, basically reversing a lot of the Trump policies. The wall construction has stopped.
Right.
That whole thing has ended. His big thing right now is the COVID-19. Wants to get that. Essentially, when they came into office, there was no plan.
No.
I mean, the Trump administration had done nothing.
No.
I know what they've been doing for 6 months, but they apparently weren't really working on kind of a
whole
plan.
Year, just about,
and,
right? Whole year.
So it's going to be, you know, they have to try to play catch up here on this. Mm-hmm. And let me just say this. Joe Biden, this was the third time he'd run for president.
Okay.
First two times didn't work out. Man is 78, and I will simply say this was his time.
Okay.
I mean, you look over the course of American history, whether it be a George Washington or an Abraham Lincoln,
mm-hmm.
or a Theodore Roosevelt or a Franklin Roosevelt or a Harry Truman, whoever.
Right.
History has put some individuals in the office at a time when the country needed them, at that particular
right.
person. And
time
I would
crisis.
Say at this point, the country needed a Joe Biden as president.
Time of crisis.
And, well, back to some civility.
Yeah.
And that is, I think, is the big thing. And I have a feeling, although we don't know this, we won't, you know, the people who work at the White House, the civil people who are the butlers, whatever.
Right.
Because they're civil servants. They serve any president, whoever, regardless of party, whatever. But my guess is a lot of them are probably relieved.
I'm sure they are.
I'm sure they were. In fact, yeah. Trump, this day beforehand, fired the person who's known as the head usher, who is the head of the entire White House staff, was somebody who had worked for Trump in one of his hotels, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so now the Biden's about to name a new White House, new head usher. Right now, the Parises are temporarily staying at Blair House, which is the government guest house, which is across the street from the White House, because the vice president's residence needs some work that could really only be done when there's nobody there. So
okay.
for a few weeks before they can move into the... So it used to be the home of the chief of naval operations. It's called the Naval House or Naval Observatory House or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been since Walter Mondale was the first vice president to live there.
Okay.
And so they'll be moving in there in a few weeks when they get their work done that they need to do.
Right.
But so that's, as I say, it was a very interesting time that we have been
through.
It was
a very interesting time. And the thing that really got me was they wanted all the African-American votes dismantled.
Well, and then, of course, we had the two Georgia Senate races mm-hmm. run off on January 5th.
That's true.
Democrats had never won one of those runoff races. It was like 90% of the voters that voted in November voted in the general election. And Democrats ended up winning both races.
Yeah, they did.
John Ossoff, actually our daughter and her family live in North Atlanta, and they lived in the congressional district where he ran
right.
back in 2017 for the seat, didn't win. He was had been an aide to John Lewis, and now elected to the Senate. He's elected to the full term, the first Jewish senator from Georgia.
Right.
And then Reverend Raphael Warlock, the first black senator elected from the state of Georgia.
And pastor.
He's elected for the unexpired term. He is, what happened was Senator John Erickson had resigned at the end of 2019.
Okay.
The governor names a individual, Governor Kemp had named this Kelly Loeffler to be the seat, and she had to run for the unexpired term.
Okay.
And that's Reverend Warlock won that seat. So he's in for 2 years, and he'll have to run for the full term in 2022.
Wow.
Same with Mark Kelly, who won the seat out in Arizona.
Okay.
The former astronaut, his wife is the former Congressman Gifford, who was wounded in the assassination attempt here
right.
6-7 years ago. And he'll run, he's running. Actually, he's holding the seat that John McCain held.
Oh, is he?
And,
okay.
And he has there for an unexpired term, and then he'll run for the full term in 2022 then.
Okay.
So,
all right.
But as I said, I think the Republican Party was in for a civil war because the Trump people and the non-Trump people and so on, I suspect next year's Republican primary for the Senate seat could get really bloody. I mean, it could really get down.
You think this is
going to
happen again, possibly?
Yeah. And then there are the Democratic side, Congressman Tim Ryan, who is from Youngstown. Ohio is likely going to lose a seat in the redistricting after the census. And I would not be surprised to see him run for the Senate seat. There's been also talk that Kevin Boyce, who is president of the Franklin County Board of Commissioners, may run. He's a former state treasurer, served a couple of years state treasurer. Nan Whaley, who is the outgoing mayor of the city of Dayton.
Right.
She was there in 2019, of course, when they had the shooting incident down there. And she's not running for re-election. Looking at it, maybe, although the thought was she might be looking at running for governor. John Cranley, the mayor of Cincinnati, on the Democratic side. And then, as I say, on the Republican side, as I say, there's several others, Lieutenant Governor Husted, Secretary of State Frank LaRose, Secretary General Dave Yost. So other ones running. So probably both parties are going to have primaries for that Senate seat because it was unexpected. I mean, the general thinking was that Senator Portman would run for re-election. Mm-hmm. He basically made it very clear today. He said that the partisan gridlock is to the point where you just really cannot get anything really done on a bipartisan basis.
Wow.
And then, of course, the other thing is with the Democrats having a 50-50 split in the Senate, and, of course, the vice president, because of constitutionally, is president of the Senate, mm-hmm. this gave the Democrats the majority control. And one thing they had to do is they have to pass what is called an organizing resolution. And up until last night, this was a battle. Well, last night, Mitch McConnell kind of folded last night.
Oh, he did.
And I presume sometime later today, in fact, it may already be happening, but sometime later today, I presume they will pass the organizing resolution. And with that, the Democrats will take the chairmanships of all of the committees. Probably they're going to, the Republican majorities will be replaced with an equal number of Republicans and Democrats, all the committees. But the thing they want to do now, and the impeachment trial for Mr. Trump is going to start till 2 weeks from today.
Right.
What they will be doing in the meantime, actually, later today, members of the Senate will be sworn in as jurors, in effect. Senator Patrick Leahy, who is now the senior Democrat in the Senate, is now the president pro tem of the Senate, will be sworn in to preside at the trial. Normally, the Chief Justice of the United States presides at trial of the president. Well, of course, Trump is no longer president. So Chief Justice John Roberts has declined to do that position, do that job. So Senator Leahy, as president pro tem of the Senate, will be the presiding at the trial.
Okay.
We'll see how all that works out here in a couple of weeks as they move forward. But the big thing right now is to get the Biden cabinet people confirmed, the COVID relief bill through.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Last night, Janet Yellen was confirmed to be Secretary of the Treasury. She may have already been sworn in today. Mm-hmm. Secretary of the Treasury, first woman. We've always had men as Secretary of the Treasury from the very first one, Alexander Hamilton, up through Steve Mnuchin, who was Trump's. Probably his Joe Biden's nominee for Secretary of State, Tony Blinken, I believe his name is. Like it will be confirmed today for Secretary of State. And they want to get all these people confirmed probably before the end of the week. Then, of course, there are some who don't need confirmation. They've already started. But so that is moving forward. And as I say, the big thing that that President Biden is doing right now is working on the COVID-19 issue.
And I thought about this. If things did not turn out the way they did, they probably would not have never been able to get rid of him.
Let me just say this. I'm not sure the country could have stood another 4 years of Donald Trump as president.
No, we could not have.
I mean, as I consider it, at noon last Wednesday, the four-year national nightmare came to an end.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was...
a nightmare to the end, wasn't it?
It was, and things that have happened since then, so...
Wow.
So it's going to be, I think civility back. Even the Biden dogs are now in the... in the White House, the returns of the dogs, they're Major and Champ, and they're German Shepherd.
Insurrection.
Well, that's what it was. It was an insurrection.
Yeah.
And sparked by the president himself. I mean, this is almost an attempt to.
He had no intention of leaving.
He tried to. I mean, when you saw that went on that day. And as I say, the one police officer who was killed, Capitol mm-hmm. Police officer, I am sure that is a top priority of the federal investigators is to find out the person or persons who are responsible for that.
Right.
Just yesterday, they arrested more individuals who had it. Because you assault a federal officer, that is a felony offense.
Mm-hmm.
And not just the murder, but some other federal officers who were assaulted.
Oh, yeah.
And, terrible. And of course, they had to lock the Capitol down for the inauguration. Now, I think... they had originally had 25,000 National Guard in D.C. I think about 20,000 are in the process of being withdrawn. They're going to leave about 5,000 or so there until maybe the middle of March or so.
Okay.
To get all this out of the stuff out of the way.
Right,
and they're getting things. I mean, frankly, something about another effort. These people are on the run. I mean, they are running like the rats fleeing the ship. Because
turn the light on, right?
As they say, they're... I'm sure, are afraid they're going to get arrested. The FBI is out looking, and they've already, as I say, arrested about 200 and more arrests coming, I'm sure.
Boy, it doesn't leave much to the imagination, does it? Yeah. Because who would have ever thought?
Well, it was just incredible.
He'd go to those extremes to stay in office, but wow, and he didn't even care about the people. You know.
So I think the damages that were done ought to be billed to the Trump campaign. Let them pay for it instead of the taxpayers having to pay for it. So
people was paying him for pardons, right?
Yeah. Well, that's that may well be looked at too. I know that. So
That's out of our ordinary.
Yeah,
you know, it just really is, and really was, and
I heard the mayor this morning, he was talking to Scott, that he said, he was asked about it, the hobby he summarized the 4 years, and he said it was just tiring every night, something else. It was like a reality show every night, whatever.
It was.
So let's say we're back to normal. I mean, there's now actual White House press briefings on a daily basis.
Right. Peaceful.
And
truthful, let me say that.
And, of course, Dr. Anthony Fauci, who has been unleashed now from whatever, from his...
Silence.
The government based on facts.
Right.
Not fiction, not whatever.
Scientific, yeah. Wow. So. Boy, I tell you. You have to be careful who you give power to.
Well, exactly. You know, it's this is what happens when people allow,
And people laughed at him because they thought he was funny, but he was real.
Yeah.
He didn't hide his intentions. And, you know, invoking Vladimir Putin and, China, their
and
dictator.
And now Putin is, of course, facing some unrest in his country because... The one gentleman who was, he tried to poison her, or some people before him tried to poison her a few months ago, is back in Russia, and now there's the demonstrations broke out, and so Putin may face some issues in his country now. So.
Well, and I was thinking, you know, earlier today as I was preparing myself for the show, what was his and Vladimir Putin's intentions in regards to the United States? You know, did we ever think about that? Did that ever enter
Let me. There were those who did. I'm not sure the former president ever really thought about it.
Know how dangerous that was.
Yeah. And the security of the country, I think, was, you know, it's interesting. Of course, Trump's flew out of D.C. on last Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
There is a military aide known who has what is called the football.
Mm-hmm.
This is a suitcase with the nuclear codes in case of nuclear war.
Right.
And because Trump is, of course, normally the outgoing president is right there with the president. They have one. But because one was down in Florida, the other, of course, was in D.C., they actually had to have two. And at noon last Wednesday, Mr. Trump's codes became deactivated. Mr. Biden's codes then became activated.
That was neat how they did it. Everybody was on the edge of their chair just get those codes from him, you know.
So,
oh, my.
So, like I say, I think I slept a lot easier since that transition last week.
Yeah,
so.
That's true. Well, hopefully back to the old grind, right? Hopefully.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming and sharing with us your knowledge and of politics and just, you know, your historical mind. And thank you so much, Tim.
Okay, well, have a good day.
Thank you for listening to A Voice of a People, Linda Sims, here on WWGH 107.1 FM Radio. Till next time, be blessed.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place. For Ohio State Senator Sherrod Brown on presidential contender and Governor John Kasich.
On the other side, just a second to talk over on the Republican side, our governor, Governor Kasich, last time I heard, has a 70% approval rating in Ohio. He's running neck and neck with Donald Trump. Who's going to carry Ohio tonight?
Well, I don't know. I think it's close. I assume Kasich probably will win. He's the governor. But I also find it curious that John Kasich has lost, I think, all 23 primaries he's been in, or 22, or whatever it is, caucuses and primaries he's lost. He's not won any one of them. Yet if he wins today, his home state, they're considering him a major contender. And